The party's just begun.
Sonic Boom!
Sit, would you kindly? Where's everyone going? Bingo? Kept you waiting, huh?
Yeah, you feeling good after yesterday? Fucking waking up a little woozy, man.
Yeah. When whiskey coke, and then going into the surge, and then a couple Mickey ultras gets you going. It makes you feel alive a little bit.
Oh, I know the feeling. I had the strawberry margarita and wine, so it was a little heavy in the morning, but it just took a couple things of water, and I was like, okay, so fun. Okay. Stuff, but you know what? We're not here to talk about our smashcapades. We're here to talk about.
Whoa.
Yeah, that actually sounded a lot naughtier than I thought it was. We're here to talk about our end of the year fucking extravaganza, baby. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah. See, I don't know. Going into 2025, I don't know if I'm gonna be like yeah, or if I'm gonna go yeah. I'm still deciding.
or just eat. We'll see. Oh, we'll see. Mm-hmm. Hello, though, and welcome to the NPC Gaming Podcast End of the Year Extravaganza, baby. Where the noobs, wannabe pros, and occasional completionists gather to discuss the latest and the best of 2024 world of gaming right there, right? Mm-hmm. There are a lot of gaming podcasts out there. There are a lot of NPC podcasts out there. And not all of them are going to Raw on Netflix on January 6, 2025. neither are we. But still, it'd be pretty cool. I am your host, Anthony Fuentes. And with me is Alex Cordova.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no yeeter. Yeah, or no, nothing. No,
I don't want to kill it because right.
Cool, dude. That'll be your slogan. That's fine.
I did both the yeah and the yeah. So I gotta you gotta pace it.
I agree. Now, with that, we have our end of the year awesome fucking show. We're gonna go ahead and just run through a bunch of stuff here. Our quick bits are gonna be pretty focused on the fucking Game Awards, baby.
There was a couple that we had originally. I see that you didn't delete them. Mm-hmm. Nothing of like really crazy, but there are some big ones. So before the Game Awards, you want me to just run through these
quick ones? Run through the other quick bits. Run through them.
So a thing that happened that I believe was like the beginning of December is Ubisoft's Call of Duty competitor XDefiant is shutting down June 3rd, 2025.
How expected.
So, yeah. Also, the Marvel Rivals quickie. Marvel Rivals. It was revealed that their battle pass is not going to expire when you purchase, a la Halo Infinite, which is good.
Okay.
Very good. And then also, just to wrap up this quick bits, Fuen's boy Elon Musk
Don't
is starting
dare.
His own.
Don't you dare.
His own game studio to quote make games great again. End quote. Yeah.
Okay.
Enough said on that.
Good for him, I guess. Let's see how that fucking goes.
But the big one is XDefiant shutting down. Everyone thought that they could give Call of Duty a run for its money, but I guess they just squandered the opportunity.
I feel like we're living through the downfall of Ubisoft right now. There's nothing good coming out of the studio. That their successes are really, really limited. Let's hope, Shadows saves them? I don't buy it, though. I get my Assassin's Creed games when they're $20 2 years later, so.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I feel pretty bad about that one, but not really. how about you? You want to run through the Game Awards, and then I'll run through our one quickie leaky, and then we'll go from there?
Yeah. Well, you're not going to do your IGN award right there that you put? You want to do that one?
Oh, we'll do both.
After?
We'll do it together. We're good.
Yeah, so the Game Awards did happen, I believe, last week, yeah? And, mm-hmm. It was their, 20th, 30th?
10th.
20th. Oh, it was only their 10th. Oh.
Okay.
Oh,
so
boy.
That wasn't the internet. Oh, there you go. I hit my microphone.
Oh, my God.
I hit my USB-C cord, so... We're going to go ahead and save that and make sure this fucking episode gets done really good. One second. Let me test the sound. And
so, as I was saying before, I was rudely interrupted. Apparently not 20 or 30 years. It was only the 10 year, but still, I am dumb.
Yes.
So, yeah, let's just jump into their little 10-year anniversary, which, you know, they kicked it off pretty hot. I'm not going to lie. They kicked it off with revealing The Witcher 4. So, it's been rumored, you know, the rumor picked up, and then they revealed it. But they also revealed that Ciri will be the main protagonist. Sorry, all you alpha males, wannabes, incels.
I love the right in the comment section, somebody was like, The Woker 4. Yeah. Like, oh my god. IGN comment section. Even if it wasn't IGN, it's still the same audience, and they're a bunch of fucking babies.
Just please tell me that you didn't play The Witcher 3, and that's all you have to, you know, just... That's how you weed out who played The Witcher 3 and who is just, like, wanting to make some, what do they call it nowadays? Some interactive content or whatever, you know, to get the views up.
Yeah, you know?
Clickbait, my bad.
Clickbait. Yeah. No, that's
a little bit of clickbait. So, yeah. And then also, they followed that up with Elden Ring going full three-player co-op. Not four.
Oh, three? Okay.
I had to correct you. Yeah.
My bad.
So, it's going full three-player co-op with Elden Ring Nightreign, which looks like a mashup of Dark Souls, Elden Ring, and Sekiro-style movement. And we got the asshole drop some more info on that, which I will gladly drop after we're done with this. So, okay. Just to keep it going here, Capcom awakens another dormant franchise with Okami 2 with this epic ass fucking orchestra fucking reveal.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also revealed that Onimusha is coming back as well, to everyone's surprise, looking very Dark Souls-ish, if you will, Sekiro-ish.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. That's actually pretty fucking cool.
And then Naughty Dog, their next game is going into outer space with Intergalactic The Heretic Prophet.
Okay.
Mafia The Old Country got a big trailer, CGI, but, you know, it look lit. The Last of Us 2 and Final Fantasy VII Rebirth are coming to PC very soon, I believe.
Yeah, okay.
Borderlands 4, it gets a big gameplay / CGI trailer reveal with probably, like, what, 20 seconds of actual gameplay and a 4-minute trailer, so do with that as you will.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look, it moves like a first-person shooter. Hey!
Turok will be hunting dinosaurs again with Turok Origins.
Oh,
looking
shit.
Very futuristic. And Virtual Fighter was announced and is set to go toe-to-toe with Street Fighter and Tekken. That reveal was also... I thought it was pretty cool, just because Virtual Fighter has been dead for,
long PS2 time.
PS2 era, I believe.
Yes.
The last time one came out. Fwen's favorite fucking game, Paw World, is getting a big expansion, looking like fucking Pokemon Legends Arceus.
Oh, good for them.
And then finally, Astrobot beat out Black Myth Wukong and Baltro. Wait, is it Balotro or Baltero?
Baltero, something like that?
Is it Baltero? Let me look that up real quick.
Baldo?
Balotro, my bad.
Balotro.
It beat out Balotro and Final Fantasy VII Rebirth and... What the fuck was the other two? It wasn't an Xbox exclusive. But anyways, mm-hmm. Astrobot beat out all those big names to win Game of the Year 2024.
Yeah, good for them. Good for them, honestly.
I actually thought that the Game Awards were pretty cool. The cringeworthy Snoop Dogg performance aside, but yeah, I thought they were pretty cool this year.
Honestly, it's probably the best they've had in a really, really long time.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. We didn't even mention that. I forgot the fool's name. The guy who made It Takes Two, they revealed a new game that looks exactly like It Takes Two, but, like, way more advanced.
It Takes Three? Is that the name of the fucking...
What's it called? Split Faction,
I think. I actually missed that part of it. I kind of missed the last part of the Game Awards, unfortunately, because I was driving.
No. Oh, okay.
I caught, like, 75% of the Game Awards, though.
Well, he was the guy who a couple years ago was talking shit, like, dropping the F-bombs and shit.
Oh, yeah.
No, he seems like a real fucking, like, you know, cool... Just shows up, fucks shit up, and leaves.
He seems like an actual artiste.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
I don't know if he's French or European or something, but yeah, it was funny because he just shows up and is like, no, seriously, check this fucking game, like my fucking game.
He's like, I was so peace on the stage.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but that game, and also It Takes Two, you can share that entire game with a friend, which I think is really cool, you know? Like, that's their... They don't make you buy two $60 games. Like, if you buy it, you can gift it to your friend for free to play with you.
Because it takes two, damn it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that also got announced. I think it was called Split Faction.
Okay, well, good for that. Cool.
Yeah, it's lit. I highly recommend it if you have a significant other to play with. Mm-hmm. You can. It really, really tests your commitment. Your patience as well.
Yep, there you go.
But yeah, so what do you think? What do you, hit us with the thoughts here, Phone? What do you got?
Well, I'm saying this Elden Ring announcement really got me. Like, I was like, oh, I guess they're gonna do another DLC. What a new fucking what? Yep. Like that. Yep. That hit me. I think this is also a great year for dormant franchises. So a lot of dormant franchises here really, really getting like the put. Virtual Fighter, fucking Turok, Okami, yeah. Onimusha. Like, this shit is pretty goddamn lit with stuff that I think deserves another shot in the modern gaming landscape. Like, truly. Yeah. All of those do. They 100% do. I almost bought Okami for $5, but I don't have no fucking time to play it.
I feel like you would like that game because it's very Zelda-ish.
I like the original, but I thought it had the slowest fucking start. I truly did. Yeah, I thought it had a really, like, even worse than Twilight Princess kind of start. But I know it gets way better, so I might still, you know, just throw the $5. I spent that on Starbucks anyway, so I might as well have a copy in the backlog. Mm-hmm. I surprisingly was hyped for Turok Origins, I'm not going to lie. I don't know why. I think it satisfied that, like, inner part of me that was like, I loved Turok growing up, like, a lot. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was fucking cool. And also, an original Naughty Dog property gets revealed? Come on. Like, that's... we had ourselves, I think, a solid fucking show this year. Like, it really was. I feel sad that I didn't go to this one. I went to last year's instead. But hey, you know, Game Awards, going to be Game Awarding. It's making 2025 look pretty good. I think we just got to wait and see what the big three end up doing to really round out the year. And yeah, I guess there were some wins too. But I will say 2024 overall was not the strongest year for games. And that's the only place where I think the Game Awards kind of suffered a little bit. But it's not the awards' fault. It's just we didn't really have the best new games compared to 2023, at least, which was fucking gigantic.
Yeah.
So, you know, not their fault, but the announcements were great. They were really good.
Yeah, I don't think any of them really missed except, you know, I mean, Borderlands 4 was kind of like, I'm like, if you didn't have the psycho mask in the beginning, that would not look like Borderlands to me. Like, it didn't look like it at all.
Yeah.
Had a very drag, just, like, just...
They kind of cut the personality out a little bit, huh?
Yeah, like, to me, I mean, again, I know it's just a reveal trailer, but, yeah, I don't know. You fucking look at that and then look at Borderlands 2 trailers or something, right? Like, that's night and day.
Yeah, it seems you're missing a little bit of the heart. I would say that for sure.
Yeah. The Witcher 4 reveal was pretty cool to kick off the show. I know, like I said, I mean, I talked about it throughout this year, that The Witcher 3, I never really gave a chance with until I got my Steam Deck. And once I got my Steam Deck, being able to play it, like, whenever I can is very, like, I get it now why people are, like, you know, all about that game. Mm-hmm. It is an old game. Don't get me wrong. It's, like, Skyrim level old.
Yeah, that inventory is some shit.
Yeah,
I hate it. I hate it with a fucking passion, dude.
Well, that was the thing, right? I remember when I first played it, I'm like, this is stupid. Fuck, I have to, like, manually go in and change oils and shit. But then, like, I started fucking around on PC. There's mods that automatically apply it. So
that's good.
Once you start doing that, it's like, you know, people love this game to be supporting it for as long as they have.
True.
And, you know, they've been showing it love, even next-gen updates, free and all that. So, you know, if you want to try it, it is, like I've mentioned before also, it's a game that you have to, like, pretty much... It's not a background game. It's a game that you need to focus on.
But yeah.
If you do focus on it, it's like, wow, yeah, I see what people are all about. Because those side quests in that game are better than main quests in other games. And this game is fucking, what, from 2015, 20...
I did get a very Fallout-y feel when I was playing the side quests in this game. That's for sure. Like, very Bethesda feeling experience.
Yeah, right there. They crafted all the side quests as, like, very, like, they belong in. You know, it's not just go talk to this person, talk to that person, and deliver fucking a box of herbs or something, right? It's
yeah,
they're all just mini adventures in themselves. It's really, you know, I picked it up for $10. You know, looking back, I would have bought it for a full $60. Like, that's, you know, it's that kind of game.
Yeah, and that, so, now you get the woke version for fucking Dude 4. Oh, my God.
Well, the 4, yeah, the reveal was cool. I mean, it was just CGI, but, you know, it's they barely started production on it. So I wasn't expecting a gameplay trailer or anything. But, you know, just to say that they're working on it now. And I really think CD Projekt Red is going to fucking go, like, balls to the wall after that horrible Cyberpunk 2077 launch.
Yes, I think so, too. I think they're really going to nail this bitch.
Yeah, and they, and you know, they fixed that game. And then now they're going to be like, yeah, we're not going to do that again. So I feel like they're going to go fucking, they're going to come out, like, swinging with that shit. So
yeah, that and Cyberpunk's done now. It's completely 100% done. The full game is out. The full, it is everything they wanted it to be. And apparently very, very fucking good. So, you know, this, they have, it's all hands on deck for this one. So I hope they fix the inventory system. then I'll buy it. And I will definitely buy it.
But like you said, too, that the Elden Ring Night Rain reveal came out of fucking nowhere. There was zero leaks about it, zero rumors about it. And the fact that they just dropped it, and also, like I said, it's not going to be a traditional Elden Ring / Souls-like game. It's going to be like almost a mini roguelike / battle royale type, but battle royale in the sense of you're not battling against other players, you're co-oping with other players to beat, you know, like the run, quote unquote. Yes. Right. So to me, that seems really, really cool. I like that they're not just gonna be like, oh, here, you guys want co-op? Like nah, they're mixing the formula up. It looks fucking cool. The fact that it can... the only downside that I see is it's... they only made it for some reason. They literally came out and said it, I think today or yesterday, that it's only one... like, it's only single player or it's three player co-op. There's no in between. So you can't just do a duo.
Can't just deal with one bro. No.
Yeah. Yeah. You need... you know, so that seems a little weird. But, you know, they have a full system, right? Where, like, you have classes. So it's not so much you make your own guy from scratch. It's going to be established, and then you pick your role, and each role has like a unique ability, a unique Ash, and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's FromSoft. So I imagine each boss and everything, every part of the experience is tailored to either three or one. So that makes sense. That makes sense. So
yeah. So that shit fucking, to me, it stole the show. It came out of nowhere. Everyone has been nothing but hyped about it. I think IGN threw a piece out saying they played it and they had more gameplay details, so that was really cool. Like you said, the old school franchises coming back is really cool as well. Onimusha, I'm gonna be keeping an eye on. That is Capcom can show us something. Maybe they're gonna go full RE remake with Onimusha. That'd be fucking awesome,
dude. So, I mean, Capcom's their track record recently with new and the dormant franchises, like, that it's good. It's fucking good. In fact, God, I can't wait for Dragon's Dogma to be cheaper. I'm gonna get that second one. Don't worry, it's happening. I am not in the zone to go open world right now. But
I know. Fucking woof, man. And then lastly for me, that Intergalactic from Naughty Dog. Like, I mean, I get it. It was just an announcement trailer, but it's like, yeah, I was kind of like, all right, cool. And then I guess I'll just wait to see.
Yeah.
what it actually has, you know, like,
I think it's more about, hey, Naughty Dog is working on something. It is original. Stay tuned. That's the gist you're going to get from it, essentially.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll keep an eye on it. Naughty Dog has never really let me down in any way, shape, or form. So, it was a good all around award thing for me. Like I said, the only thing that I was cringing at was fucking Snoop Dogg's performance.
Hey, if it's only one cringe performance in this entire thing, that's a Game Awards fucking A+, baby. Honestly, because it's usually like 50% cringe, 50% hype.
Yeah.
At the best. True. So, you know, way to go. But also, let's just take a quick dive into the winners here. I'm just going to do the big dogs because, like, I feel like maybe... I haven't played a lot of games in 2024, but I feel like most of these are pretty justified. So, best multiplayer was Helldivers 2, and it had a lot of stiff competition. Best family game was Astrobot, which also ended up, like we said, Game of the Year. Fighting with Tekken 8. RPG, Metaphor, Refantasio, but it was against stuff like, you know, Elden Ring DLC, Dragon's Dogma 2, Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth, and again, Astrobot, clean sweeping. Black Myth Wukong, best action game. Way to go there. We've been talking shit on this Batman Arkham game, but it got Arkham Shadow, I guess, trounced everything else for the best VR an game. Again, Balatro seems to be just a fucking darling in the Indian mobile scene. And, of course, ongoing all this stuff, Games for Impact, blah, 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 blah. But, yeah, Game of the Year, Astrobot. And it seems to me like following our show, following the narratives that we've been talking about in the gaming industry, it didn't seem very surprising, a lot of these winners. But yeah, it did seem like... if you're going to pick one, I'm not offended by any of these winners, because I have no idea what Metaphor is. But even then, well, I feel like not offended, really.
Yeah, that one is the one that, I mean, I feel like it's this couple years, or last couple years, that's the Persona that came out. You know, it's kind of like
Persona 5.
Oh yeah, when Persona 5 came out, it swept everything, right? And don't get me wrong, I played it, but... it didn't really, like, suck me in, right? Don't get me wrong, it's anime-like, and I like that, you know, I like anime. But at the same time, I think it is one of those games where it's going to be, like, you have to dedicate, like, that's your game, right?
Yes.
Just like you're playing Grand Theft Auto there in L.A., it sounds like.
Oh, boy. Like, yeah, it's going pretty crazy. Right? They're very hyped about GTA 6, that's for sure. Hollywood, but, baby.
Yeah, but no, I've been hearing that about Metaphor. Is everyone saying it's like a fucking, it's one of those RPGs that comes out of left field and it's just so good and all that. And I personally have not played it. I don't see myself really playing it, but mm-hmm. You know, it's just one of those things where, you know, if the people who play games all the time, you know, come up with that, then I guess you just have to look at it, maybe check it out, see what's going on with it.
Something a little different. I think you're right. For people that play games all the time, it's like, this is such a distinct experience. It's not another Final Fantasy or another Dragon's Dogma or another Yakuza. Like that, it seems like they're rewarding effort, which is very, very good. And it makes me all these winners, all this stuff, it really does make me want to try Astrobot. Astrobot had some of the best reviews. And it seems like, I don't know, like from... It look at justified winner with that versus Black Myth Wukong, which people really love too.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too, that it's like, I guess it all comes down to taste. I mean, like, I have not played Black Myth Wukong yet. I want to. It's on my list. I hope I get fucking gift cards or Nate goes halvesies on me with it, because mm-hmm. I know he wants to play it too. But my cousin actually played it, and he was telling me he got really into it, and he's not really one to be for like a Soulsborne type of player. So I don't think it's really Soulsborne like.
No.
Because, you know, people have said it's just an action game with mechanics, right? Like different mechanics. So mm-hmm. I've wanted to try it, but, you know, we'll get a little bit more into that later with my fails and wins and all that. But I Astrobot seems like it's a game that you can just pick up, play, and just like kind of get through. But then you can also dive deep into it, which I've heard, which is people are saying that it's not, if you want to just beat it, you can beat it, right? But if you want to get into it and like get all the bots and all that stuff, it sounded very Mario Galaxy like, right?
I was gonna say it seems like Sony's Nintendo game. Yeah. Which I think is why people are very fat, because it's a Nintendo game with actually like good 4K resources and really next gen features and stuff that we don't get from Nintendo, which I think is pretty cool. And it has a reference for the PlayStation history, which I've heard, and I think that should also be celebrated. Play the nostalgia bone. If you do it right, I say you're rewarded. So, did they get it right? Video Game Awards nominees or winners. What do you say?
I think they did. You know, IGN, I mean, it seems like they're the ones that we're always doing their list right now, and, you know, I feel like we've had more misses than hits, but this one seems... excuse me, pretty spot on. Mm-hmm. You know, Helldivers 2, that is the best multiplayer game of 2024, easily, hands down. Mm-hmm. Fucking came out of nowhere earlier in the year, and it recently got a resurgence, actually, at the Game Awards, because they announced the new free major update literally that night.
Yeah.
They threw in a whole new enemy faction for free, all that stuff. So, you know, Helldivers 2 is on point. I can't speak about that Metaphor one you talked about or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Astrobot, it's, you know, I've seen and heard people talk about it. And I feel like, you know, if it's here and there, then it would be like, okay, yeah. But when every single publication and every single awards has that game in it, then you have to take notice to it, right?
Definitely. And I also felt like, okay, but like it won so many categories. But I look at the games in the category, I'm just like, you know, I can see it. Because, like, you know, Echoes of Wisdom wasn't the best Zelda game, but it was a good Zelda game. Prince of Persia Lost Crown is a great Prince of Persia game, but it's not exactly original. You know, things like that, I'm just like, okay, I can see why rewarding an original team and it goes along. It needs the press more than anything else. And I'm not offended by it. So I would say they got it right, weirdly. So way to go. Game Awards, you did it, buddy. You did it this year. Mm-hmm. Good job.
Was there any mention of Destiny 2 The Final Shape, though, in their list? I can't remember. I didn't look at their list.
I didn't see it at all. For the ongoing game, it would probably be that, but
it
no.
It was Fortnite, wasn't it? Fortnite was the winner for ongoing, or no?
I think it was League of Legends.
Oh, okay, I guess.
Yeah, but League of Legends. Yeah, no, I mean, no Destiny in there at all. Nope, not even a little acknowledgement. Oh, okay, they got it totally wrong then. Okay.
No, I was just, I'll talk about it later. Okay. In our list, but.
You good. All right, well, before we get to our end of the year extravaganza, Video Game Awards, the best fucking award show not on television, we're going to do a quick leaky rumor reel because this one is stacking up a lot because the Switch 2 is currently being leaked right now and Nintendo is getting fucking nervous. That's right. Mm-hmm. Turns out the Switch 2 may be the worst-kept secret in gaming. Dummy units used for case designs have actually made their way to YouTubers and are being featured all over the web, with manufacturers like Dbrand outright confirming the new design, which aligns with previous leaks, which come with their own set of specs. So all the shit we've been talking this entire year, that's pretty accurate. So everything's lining up right now. Reports are Nintendo is actually planning a big mid-January reveal to get ahead of the leakers, despite not initially wanting to say anything that early into 2025. Their hand is definitely being forced here. The latest rumor is it is supposed to release sometime around May and June, and they are getting stock a lot. So...
yeah, so fuck you, scalpers. How about that?
Yeah, and we're trying. Hopefully, fucking hopefully, dude. So, what do you think? Have you seen anything on the new Switch design? Have you?
Yeah. I've seen leaks. I mean, I've seen the mock-ups, quote unquote. It looks just like a fancy Switch.
It looks like a bigger Switch with like a little rounder.
Yeah, it does look rounder, and the Joy-Cons look unique. I've heard that they're going to be magnetic, which is
the magnetic mechanism is actually on the dummy units.
Yeah.
So okay. I've seen it being applied. It actually clicks pretty satisfyingly from what I can see.
All right. Yeah, because to me that seems very cool, very next-gen, futuristic. So, you know, I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Nintendo, I think, found the, what's the expression here I'm looking for?
Formula?
I mean, that's boring. I was going to say something like they found the...
the secret sauce?
The secret sauce, the... Damn it. I was thinking
the juice. Carrey,
dude. No, I was thinking of Jim Carrey in Batman Forever. What the fuck did he say?
Oh, what the fuck did he say? God damn it!
It's gonna bug me now. Damn it!
Oh, I went pissed off too. No, come on.
He's like, your interest is good. He's like, something about showmanship or something, right? I mean, Phil's gonna beat the shit out of
Phil's gonna hate this shit. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, they found that they have the formula, like you said, right, to keep it boring and professional. But yeah. I don't think it's going to be a Wii U disaster. It's, I think Switch 2 is going to, if they name it that, or if they name
No, the logo's been leaked. It's actually a Switch 2.
Okay, it is a Switch 2.
That logo we talked about way back a couple months ago, it's the exact logo.
Okay, good. So, yeah, if you call it the Switch 2, or maybe even, you know, they could have got risky and just said the next Switch.
Oh my god. The new Switch. No, the Switcheroo.
The Switchier, I don't know.
The Switcher?
But, I don't think it's going to be a Wii U disaster, like, you know, because let's not forget, the Wii was like, you know, it was up there.
Yeah.
And Nintendo lost the momentum because they announced the Wii U instead of, you know, the Wii 2.
That's really, they really fucking dropped the ball on that one, dude. I think personally it's going to be a DS to 3DS scenario. Where it's not going to be as big as the Switch was because everybody has a fucking Switch and casuals aren't going to be like, oh, the graphics are way better. I guess they're going to get one. They're going to look at it like it's like, it's another fucking Switch. Until Animal Crossing can't be played on the old one and they got to figure that shit out. But yeah, I think from what I can see of these, the magnets look cool. The design looks like, a refined version of what we have right now. Mm-hmm. I like how big the screen is. It looks like that is pretty badass, actually. It's definitely less portable than ever. It's got two USB ports, so there's on the bottom and the top. So it really looks like just a they're fixing everything that they needed to. How long it's going to be technologically relevant, who the fuck knows. But it seems like based on the specs, they're at least trying to give it a Series S level power, which means we're going to probably have games for this that are relevant for at least 4 years, which is good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I say I'm with it. If things all line up financially and I'm good to go, that bitch is a day one buy for me. And I know it's LCD. It's not OLED. They're going to get me again. Once the OLED comes out, I'm fucking getting it with a 0.2-inch difference on the screen and all that bullshit. The Nintendo's got me. They know my fucking number.
With a small upgrade to make it look a little bit better.
Look a little bit better. But I'm a portable gamer. You're going to tell by my fucking Game of the Year nominees. So, and with that, yeah, I'm gonna get it. But yeah, Switch 2 Leaky Rumor Mill. We'll find out in 2 weeks how accurate it is, or in a month how accurate it is. But I think it's, you know, we're at the front door, essentially. We're right there. Yeah.
Yep. I agree. Yep. Mm-hmm. It's next year we're going to be talking all about the Switch 2. I have a very strong suspicion about that.
Yes, yes. Oh, and I forgot there's another leaky rumor mill too that I forgot to include in here. Microsoft's handheld, they actually released a few more details on it from one of the same leakers that does all this bullshit. It's not going to be as hype as we think it's going to be.
What do you mean?
The OS is going to be much more... It's not going to be an Xbox-style OS. It's going to be pretty much just a portable PC with the Xbox logo slapped on it.
I mean, you know, like, let's not badmouth that now, Flynn.
I'm just saying...
The Steam Deck has fucking...
It's got Steam OS, though. It's made for mobile. It's going to be much more like an ROG Ally-style device, but with an Xbox.
Well, I was going to say, but yeah, you have to look at, like, Steam kind of... revitalize that, and now look at, we have the ROG, we have that, what is it, the MSI Claw, like we have all these PC makers trying to copy or get a piece of that pie. Mm-hmm. And if Microsoft was smart, they would also try to do that.
They are trying to do that, but I think it might be priced out. It's going to be one of those that basically look at it like a spec'd up Steam Deck. So whatever the good specs are going to be for around when it releases, that's what it's going to be. Without SteamOS. Without SteamOS.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, the Steam Deck, I feel, is the now standard for this type of, you know, peripheral.
Portable PC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the Steam Deck is a standard. There has not been another portable PC that has been able to touch the Steam Deck.
No.
I love my fucking Steam Deck.
Everybody I know has a Steam Deck. Fucking, they're gushing about that shit all the goddamn time.
Yeah. So if Microsoft, like, the only way that Microsoft can get a piece of that pie is if they were to make it not only affordable but also like kind of do what Steam did and just say like, hey, you know all those games you bought on your Xbox? Yeah, you can just download them.
Yeah.
You don't have to rebuy them. Or anything like that.
It may or may not be that, though. That's the part that's in contention. So, LA is going crazy right now. What the hell is happening here?
Yep.
Sorry, people listening in your car. It's not the police next to you. It is my apartment because my window's fucking open. Because I don't know why. That's the one thing I'm worried about is the actual Xbox backlog and backward compatibility. That's the part that's most in limbo right now. So, which is why I'm like, it could be just a boring, just, you know, like, oh, play this PC version of your thingy. But, hey, if they give me my full library, I'm happy. I'm a happy camper. But we won't know for, like, 2 years.
Oof.
Yeah, for, true. Like, 2 years. So,
you know, also, I believe we had a little, wasn't there a little rumor picking up more about the PlayStation Vita successor?
That's true. Yes.
There was also that, too.
All right, so I guess we're going handheld on this one. There's one more rumor, baby. Yes, Sony is actually now in serious discussion and, like, in the prototype phase, I believe, of actually getting a full-on handheld.
Was it with AMD or...
I can't remember, but...
It was with a certain PC publisher. I mean, I'm sorry, not publisher. A PC parts, like... company that they were like literally talking to about making.
Yes, it's gonna be obviously again Microsoft and Sony's handhelds are gonna come out after the Switch 2, so they're gonna be spec'd up. They're gonna definitely outclass it on the specs. I feel like what both are aiming for is you want you to be able to play PS5 and Xbox Series S level games on the go. That's the generational gap in which they're going to release it, or at least something close to that. But, you know, that comes with the sacrifice of battery life. That comes with a lot of fallbacks, it's, unless they nail it.
Yeah, and, you know, I can go into the probably the only con of my Steam Deck is the fact that, like, I don't play anything at really 60 unless it's a PlayStation 3, you know, era type of game. Because anything past that, in the last, what, 6-7 years, and you want to play at 60, you're going to get about a solid 3 hours of battery life, dude. Mm-hmm. So if you want to play in bed, that's cool. But if you were trying to travel, like, yeah, you got to
cap the
FPS and all that stuff. So, I mean, I get it. Options are always good, but, you know, 40, I think I go 40 FPS max on my Steam Deck.
Okay, which, all right. Well,
you know, it can make a difference.
But, I mean, let's see how Sony does it, because, yeah, I would like to see a Vita PSP revival for sure. More competition, the better, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of, though, we got a competition for our own Game of the Year and all this other fun stuff right here. So we are going to run through our End of the Year extravaganza, the true Game Awards, baby. NPC Gaming Awards. Let's fucking go. Mm-hmm. Shoo.
Yeah. See?
Shh. Fucking nominees are coming, baby. All right, so what we're going to do, we're going to start off with our own nominees. At the end, we will reveal who the winner is. And we'll run through just a couple of our own weird takes on awards. So we have a few here. My personal Game of the Year nominees, and these are only games that I've played. You're going to see right now, I have not played a lot, but at least new releases. I play a lot of old shit. But here are my personal Game of the Year nominees. Number one, Legend of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom. Number two, Sonic X Shadow Generations. Number three, Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door Remake. And number four, Prince of Persia The Lost Crown. So, yeah, I play handheld, lady, but I truly do. How about you, Cordova?
Me, again, these are all personal ones that I played as well. So, my Game of the Year nominees are Helldivers 2, Marvel Rivals with the December launch edition.
A little sneaky that's in how, there, okay.
That's how good it is. Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, fucking sneak surprise there. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and then Call of Duty Black Ops 6. I will give props to Call of Duty.
Honestly,
when they actually nail it, they will get props.
Yes, so. Yes, definitely. Yeah. Now, I'll just go ahead and say which one I'm choosing for the winner of this, but our nominees for the best video game adaptation are Fallout, Arcane, Like a Dragon, and of course, Knuckles. So, of these video game shows, which would you say is your best video game adaptation?
I think it's a unanimous decision here that Fallout is Fallout. This year's best video game adaptation.
Based on how much we talked about it, 100%.
Yes. I know that people love Arcane. I am just not a League of Legends person. I don't know anything about League of Legends. I don't know the lore. I don't know anything.
You sound real Bill Clinton-y right there, dude. I never touched that fucking show. I don't know anything about that show. That show was on when I walked in.
Yeah. But I know a lot about Fallout, and that show treated the games with respect. We talked about it all fucking year. It didn't try to do anything different, Halo. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was like, you know what? We know why people love Fallout. Let's just give them more of that. And that's what we got. That's what we fucking, you know, loved. Everyone. I haven't heard anyone really talk bad about the Fallout
show. No. So. Even casuals love it. So I'm with that. Knuckles, I didn't watch, but I am going to be watching Sonic 3 tomorrow. And I will say the Sonic hype is pretty strong. I will get more into that later. So I can't give you that the fair shake. But honestly, Fallout to me is the example of where we should be going forward. Yeah. For sure.
And you know what? It's not mentioned here, but I'm going to just tell everyone. If you have not watched that Secret Level show on Amazon Prime, it's an anthology, which I don't really think falls into this adaptation type of thing, right? Because these are full-edged season shows, right?
No, I mean, I'll add it. Yeah, fuck it.
I mean, but Secret Level is extremely fucking awesome if you're a fan of video games. The Warhammer 40K episode is fucking amazing. I don't know anything about Warhammer, and I want to get into Warhammer, but watching shit like that just makes me want to fucking dive both feet in, just because of how it was presented, the fucking rawness of it and all that. The Armored Core episode with Keanu Reeves was fucking amazing. That shit was fucking wild. And these episodes are only like 15 minutes tops. So it's you know what they remind me of is the fucking early seasons of Black Mirror, right? Where they just pretty much they cut straight to the chase. Dude.
Yeah, so, they're just exactly.
Yeah. So Secret Level, if you guys haven't checked it out, fucking check it out. It's awesome. They just released the last part of the season. I believe it's 15 episodes now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You know, there's a fucking Sifu episode, which, yeah, I played the game. It was pretty cool. That the episode was cool. I guess there's a Pac-Man episode that Jim was talking about.
Everybody's saying that one's pretty good.
I haven't watched that one yet, but, you know, it's, yeah. It's pretty cool. Amazon really killed it with Fallout and Secret Level.
Yeah.
And that Secret Level just got renewed for season two.
Season two, so that's right.
You know that people fucking love it then. Yep. So
thank you, Mr. Bezos. Thank you, Mr. Bezos.
Oh,
God damn
shit.
It. Boy, I know, God dude. Fucking it. Wow. The worst. Let's... Anyways, absurd headline of the year. I parsed through all of our headlines for 2024. This one was the most absurd to me. Ex-PlayStation chief criticized for saying laid off developers should, quote, drive an Uber or, quote, go to the beach for a year. Last year, we had the most out of touch CEO award. I didn't think we needed to do it again. So we just put this fucking guy in there instead. Because honestly, that's pretty absurd. That's pretty absurd.
Mine, I think it was a tie between the Florida Joker that we talked about
earlier. Yes.
Florida Joker was there. And then the other one was, fuck, what was it? I just saw it on my thing. I think it had to do with the Deadpool and Wolverine cake.
Yes, the ass controller. That's right. Yeah. Oh, the ass controller is pretty good,
too. Which they did not sell. And I guess they don't like money because that thing would sell.
Yeah.
So that's why it's absurd.
Yeah, I am with it. Also, I will say I'm pissed at Sega. They did not sell. It's only contest only. The ugly sweater with the... discarded Sonic design from the movie.
Oh, I've seen that.
Did
too,
you see that shit?
Yeah, I saw that.
Is fucking disgusting looking, and I want it. Yeah. I want it so fucking badly.
Yep, they should have sold it.
They should have sold. I would have bought that shit in a heartbeat. Oh my god.
God damn it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, on to our other awards here. We got the biggest surprise, and we've already touched on it a bit. So I have two biggest surprises here. Mine was, of course, the Fallout TV show. I knew it was going to be. I thought it was going to be good. I could, yeah. And I cannot tell you, as we've been talking about the whole season, how amazing this shit is. It's basically Fallout 5. But my other big surprise here, honorable mention, is no new Pokemon or Assassin's Creed in 2024. If you told me this last year, I would have been like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Of course. Why are we not getting milked here? We're not getting milked.
Whoa.
Hey, I'm just saying. They're used to milking this bitch. No milk. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a big surprise to me, I gotta say.
Yep.
Yeah. How about you?
I will agree with you about Fallout. Like I said, I remember when we first started talking about it, we were like, okay, cool. You know, we're going to keep an eye on it. But then, like, it came and it was as good as it was. Even people who have no idea what Fallout is about loved it. My girlfriend, who's never seen me play or even knows that Fallout was a game, watched it with me. And she was just like, wow, this is a really good show. Let's keep watching it. So, yeah, they hit it out of the park with that. I want to give an honorable mention to also the biggest surprise is that the fact that the Halo TV show finally got to Halo in two seasons on the last episode, and then it got canceled. So here's a little pro tip for anyone trying to make a video game show. Do not try to do your own thing. Respect the source material and just give the players, not new people, but give the players what they want, and you will get new people to watch your show. I guarantee
it. Absolutely. LAPD won't come after you either. It's like they're just right now. They're just waiting outside, pissed off by Halo as well.
Yeah. So that was an honorable mention to say, hey, let's fucking tease what everyone has been waiting fucking two seasons for, and then we're just going to cancel that shit because no one watched it, which I don't blame them. You know, that shit was just, yeah, it was a fucking horrible show. It took them fucking, what, 26 episodes to get, or 20 episodes to get to Halo, and then it's like,
you're getting so hot still. You're still hot. This is, we've been over this for many episodes. Holy shit. I agree.
Yeah.
It's actually one of my wins also. But the biggest disappointment of the year.
Whoa. But that wasn't my surprise. I'm sorry. I got a little tangent there. The biggest surprise, though, in seriousness, was the Balatro game being as addictive as everyone says it is.
Yeah. Oh, I can't.
I did not know that a roguelike poker game could be that addictive, and here I am fucking 5 hours deep in one day.
All your phone battery's fucking done, the whole
thing. No, I have it on the Steam Deck, dude.
Oh, okay. All right, how dare you? You're like, how dare you say I do a mobile gaming? Nah.
Yeah. So,
Balatro, interesting.
Okay. Yeah, that's the thing, though. It's not even a mobile game. It's just the fact that it's literally a roguelike fucking poker game where the whole objective is to get the highest score you can playing poker hands. And there's just a whole bunch of random-ass power-ups and Joker cards that you can get to, like, just turn the game upside down. And, yeah, it is extremely addicting. I bought it for, you know, it was only $13, and no regrets whatsoever.
Damn. All right. There you go. Balatro, another award. You almost had the game of the year, but you got the best surprise over here. Yep. Now, biggest disappointment. This is a big one for me. It's actually the record number of studio shutdowns after the absolute banger that was 2023. So we talked about it last year in our awards. 2023 was one of the biggest years in gaming. Like, I looked at our nominees then. I'm like, holy fucking shit. Did we really play all those goddamn games? Yeah. It was insane. You would think after that that studios would be secure. And developers who create these games have a bright future ahead of them, but that's not the case. There's a lot of every week we were talking about a new studio being shut down and it reflecting on what their output was, and most of the time it was not deserved. So my biggest disappointment is honestly all these motherfucking execs icing the people who made them money. So yeah, record number of studio shutdowns is the hugest disappointment for me. So
yep, mm-hmm. Yep. Let's not forget. Also, just to piggyback off your shutdown real quick, that the fact that Destiny 2, Bungie, right?
Mm-hmm.
That we talked about it, that they had the absolute fucking banger DLC in June that was the Final Shape, which is like pretty much, I view that as the Halo Reach of Destiny, because it was like the last hurrah, right? They
went
all out. They fucking gave everything.
Reach was awesome. Reach was, I remember that feeling right there.
Exactly, right? So this was the Halo Reach of the Destiny game, and they rewarded all those developers that put, that put together this fucking banger DLC with layoffs while the CEO went and bought vintage cars. So
car guy. Oh, he was that shit,
fucking piece of shit.
Was shit too. Oh my god,
that sums up what these fucking executives think of, like, not only their developers, you know, the people that work for them, but also us as gamers, because they think that, like, I don't care, I got your money, I'm gonna fucking
a fucking piggy bank, come on.
So you know, it really sucks because Destiny was at the high in June, July, August, and then since then it has been a fucking ticking time bomb of just dying. It is not the same now. Their quote unquote seasons are just fucking like just dead. It's on cruise control almost.
Yeah.
And yeah, I can tell you I haven't played Destiny in like almost a month now just because of how dead it is and just not the. The Final Shape hype is not there anymore, and it really, really sucks. But that's a disappointment for me. But also, my other disappointment is that I have still yet to play fucking numerous 2024 games. So, I have not played yet Warhammer 40K Space Marine 2, which looks like Gears of War on fucking steroids.
Mm-hmm.
I have not played Tekken 8, which just got the DLC for the boy from Final Fantasy 16, Clive. Haven't got to touch Silent Hill 2. Haven't got to play fucking Echoes of Wisdom. Not even Paper Mario, Thousand Year Door, or Black Myth Wukong. Mm. So, to me, that's a disappointment. But, you know, let's not overshadow the fact that, yeah, these these CEOs are pieces of shit.
Exactly.
They just want more money, and they don't want to keep the team together to keep making good-ass games or DLC, which people would gladly pay for.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. 100%. So a lot of big disappointments. I mean, I also feel bad that I haven't been able to play a lot of good games or finish the games that I have, really. But, I mean, it's okay. Life happens. Life has been crazy. Crazier than ever in 2024 for me, to be honest with you. It's a wild year, as you can tell by the Hollywood streets right now happening outside my fucking thing. But, yeah. Now our gaming industry win of the year. Like, the number one win. Number one. True win here. I actually put Halo TV show getting canceled. I thought that was quite a victory. But that's my second tier. My top tier win actually is Sonic the Hedgehog having the best year in a long goddamn time. Amazing game. Amazing game came out from this. what do you call it? We even got Sega stuff added to the Nintendo eShop. Not eShop, the little online thingy.
Switch Online, yeah.
Switch Online. Sonic Knuckles came out this year, and we got Sonic the Hedgehog 3, which is by far the best reviews of the entire series.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't seen any bad review about it.
No, it's like 80-something percent.
89? Yeah, 89 for both critic and fucking audience? When does that happen?
Yeah, seriously, Sonic, our little boy, the Blue Hedgehog, is having the best year of his since the 90s. So I got to acknowledge him. Sonic, you're my fucking winner of the year, and I'm going to get into a little more of that coming up. How about you? Your winner of the year.
You know what I'm going to do in the movie theater when I go see Sonic 3? I'm just going to stand up and be like, I love you, Sonic!
Fucking do it.
But no, my win of the year is Fallout, the TV show. It came out of left field. Mm-hmm. You know, no one was really expecting anything of it, and it came out and fucking showed what you can do when you show respect to the source material and not try to make it yourself, you know, your own thing, quote unquote, like these fucking movie people. And I don't even know if it's the fucking executives or it's just the fucking showrunners. It's
people
who
don't understand games. People who don't understand games getting the job. That's what it is.
It's like, when they just say, like, you know what? We didn't even play fucking the Halo game. We're going to do our own spin. Or, oh, you know what? We didn't even play the Yakuza games. Mm-hmm. It's like, why the fuck would you sign on to do this then?
It's because they think their audience is nerds. They think that you're like, I'm not a nerd. I don't play games. That's the same mentality for sure. But you got another one here too.
Yeah. And then my other one is the single player games making a comeback with no microtransactions. So two of the biggest games this year were actually three now that I think about it. I don't think Astrobot has microtransactions. But the ones that made the biggest headlines were the fact that Black Myth Wukong and Warhammer 40K Space Marine 2 do not have any type of microtransactions that affect your gameplay in the way of, like, you know, season passes or like, oh, you want DLC, you have to pay for it. Mm-hmm. They have now. I know Warhammer does have DLC, but that is only purely cosmetic, because the Warhammer universe is very, like, you can make your Space Marine your own guy, right? That's fine.
Yeah,
because that is.
But it's not microtransaction reliant.
Exactly.
Which a lot of games are. Yes.
Exactly.
Ubisoft.
I think Black Myth Wukong has zero microtransaction. It's just there, right?
It's just a good game.
You get the game. Yeah. So that is following up with, I want to say last year, there was a couple games that came out like that. I can't recall them off the top of my head, but there was a couple single player games that came out last year that were like pretty much just like, here, you want the whole game? Here you go, guys. You know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hope that trend continues, because, yeah, not looking good for certain companies. You know, your boy Zaslav at the WB.
Hey, we're about to get to the fails right now. So we do have an overall gaming industry fail of the year. So that was our wins. Some very good wins, I must say. You know, this is about the business. My big fail of the year is Concord and everything it fucking represents. Concord was the biggest, I wouldn't even call it a victim. I would say it was an overreach from Sony. Mm-hmm. And it is literally the opposite of the single player game, no microtransaction thing we just rewarded. It is a garbage fire. And it truly is the wrong lesson everybody took. And it's not a good concept, not a good pay system, unoriginal. And the fact that it even got made and expected to get sales shows exactly what certain execs or people making these decisions think of gamers. They don't respect them. They don't respect our tastes, our interests. And I'm glad it failed. And I'm glad a lot of games like it have failed this year. A ton.
Yeah, they got some fucking balls to release a hero shooter with no established, you know, repertoire or like established franchise when there's Overwatch 2 just there for free, right? And don't get me wrong, Blizzard is a real piece of shit company. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they have a free-to-play hero shooter already, why would anyone drop $60 to play an unproven, like, not even fun-looking game that...
Not even fun-looking.
Yeah.
No, not even.
Zero gameplay, really, that people were just like, oh, okay, this does nothing new.
Yeah.
So, what's crazy, though, just to piggyback off your fail again, is the fact that, like, Marvel Rivals comes out for free and is now the talk of the town actually eclipsing Overwatch 2. So it's almost like, I don't know, maybe you should not be up your own ass, Sony, and just release Concord for free, and maybe you would have had a chance.
Yes.
I don't think it would have set the world on fire, but you would have at least shown that you're listening, you know, like you have your hand on the pulse.
Yeah, exactly. You're right, because it truly is hand on the pulse. It was truly like a tone deaf fucking release.
Yeah.
100% tone deaf. Yeah. So yeah, yep. I'm with that. That is accurate. Ooh, that's accurate. Yeah. How about you, though?
So my fail is your boys over there at the WB Games. So, you know, mostly ran by your boy Zaslav. But Zaslav,
that's right, buddy.
Yeah, I have a strong suspicion they will be here next year, too, when they fuck up Hogwarts Legacy 2.
Yeah, no, we're definitely going to be here for that. We will report that immediately.
But, you know, they had fucking... the fuck was it? Suicide Squad, right? Mm-hmm. In the beginning of the year, with every episode we had, we were just talking about Suicide Squad.
It's like 500 players online at one time, and it was like a peak. Oh, yeah.
Yep. So, the WB, again, not knowing what the fuck people want, they don't want a microtransaction-filled Suicide Squad game that is basically Fortnite Lite, I guess. You know? That's... pretty much, I'm extremely happy that everyone talked with their wallets. That's really the only thing you can do with these fucking corporations nowadays, especially in the video game industry. If you don't pay to play their game, they will... I mean, it sucks for the developers, right? But they'll take notice, right? That's the only way they take notice. If that shit was a record-setting fucking game for WB, guess what? Every game from now on would have had that type of system for them.
Yeah, 100%.
So, I'm glad that it failed. I know it sucks for the developers who probably, you know, that wanted to make it something, but we talked about it all year. You know, that's not the same Rocksteady that made the Arkham trilogy.
No. Definitely not. They probably thought they were going to make a name for themselves with the thing, but also they're hamstrung by the WB, so there's that.
Yeah, so to me, it's WB Games. The multiverses came back out, didn't do anything.
Jesus Christ, don't even get me started on that fucking dumpster fire, too.
Yeah, you would think that they would have taken into account everything that people were talking about in the beta, and they didn't. So, same thing, right? Let's make it so grindy. Let's make it so hard for them so they have to give us money. And it's like, nah, we're good, dog.
Mm-hmm. We're good, dog.
Yeah, we'll go play something else. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And also, you know, I'm going to sound like a broken record here, but I think that's really why Marvel Rivals is kind of getting a footing right now. That it's not like that. Everything is for free. When they release new characters, it's going to be for free. They're going to make their money off literally selling these fucking cool-ass skins, which, don't get me wrong, there are some cool-ass skins in there that look like, you know, like not so different, but it looks like it would be paid, you know, like you can tell, like, yeah, I'll give you fucking $10 for that because it looks fucking
cool. If you're into it, get the whales, it's fine.
Exactly. So I think that's why, like, you know, Marvel Rivals is a late bloomer here, but at the same time, like, I think for whatever reason, this NetEase company is really, like, they know what they're doing in regards to, like, hey, we'll give you the option, but, like, we'll also give you the option to give us money if you want.
I think, right? Because I think what happens is Disney has a lot of oversight in this kind of stuff. It's like, you will not give us a bad name. I know Warner Brothers don't give a shit, but we need to have a good fucking name. This is selling way beyond just the game. Yeah. So, you know, Disney's very stringent about that. I know because they put the foot down for the Star Wars games, too. And we've seen the results of that. So,
yep.
Yeah. Perfect. All right. And now we're going to get to our own personal games of the year. Yeah. I only have one game of the year. I'm going to pick in this one. My nominees were The Legend of Zelda, Echoes of Wisdom, Sonic X Shadow Generations, Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door Remake, and Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. And my winner is, opening the fucking envelope, Sonic X Shadow Generations.
Damn.
Yep.
I'm
going to put that right next. Shadow Generations. Typing that bitch in. Just to talk about this game a little bit because it truly is my actual fucking game of the year. I always wanted to play Sonic Generations. I've heard it was really short, but it was a very good take on, you know, honoring classic Sonic. I didn't know what I was getting into, so when I played that first because Sonic X Shadow Generations is two games. It's not one game. It's a remaster of the old game, and it's a completely brand fucking new game. Sonic Generations is hands down the best Sonic 2D Sonic game I've probably ever played. Like, it is phenomenal. As somebody who grew up with it, it makes everything easier. It gets rid of a lot of the annoying bits. There's a little glitch here and there. The style's great. The story's goofy and weird, but like it's fine. It's just very addicting. I finished the game and I still go back and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna do this challenge. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna beat this time. Like very replay centric, and it's not boring. It is such a good fucking game, and it really covers all of Sonic from the 90s till about 2011 when the game came out.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, cool, wow. And I get a whole nother game. And Shadow Generations is even better than that shit. Shadow Generations was developed from the ground up with the Sonic Frontiers engine. It looks way more next gen, has way bigger levels, big elaborate open world to select your levels in, or hub world, I would say. It's a hub world. Shadow Generation, better story. Like, this shit blew my fucking mind. I did not know I wanted this game. And again, it doesn't have as many challenges as Sonic Generations because it really is like a free game you're getting with this. But it's just as long, and the levels are even better. And I still have it in my fucking... I'll bust it out sometimes and play a level or two and just be happy, man. Like, this is a... This is truly blew my mind. I did not expect to love this game as much as I did. Echoes of Wisdom was fine. It was a good game, good Zelda game. Not better than Between Worlds. Prince of Persia Lost Crown is fantastic. Thousand Year Door Remake is funny. But there's only one game I keep really coming back to, and I am going to try... I'm trying to pawn this off to fucking everybody so they can play this game too. I have it on the Switch. Great portable experience. Sonic X Shadow Generations. You are my game of the year, baby. 100%.
Damn, okay, all right. I mean, I did see gameplay of it. I do want to try it, but again, there's a lot of games to get through first. Mine is, I got two, which is one is a little cheater, but I'm going to go ahead and go off my list early, right? I got Helldivers 2, Marvel Rivals, Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and then Call of Duty Black Ops 6, right? My game of the year for this year is Helldivers 2. So, if you have access to play this game, please just play it. And you will see why it is a Game of the Year nomination. I mean, it is so fucking fun. And no drop-in is the same. It just gets taken to the next level when you're playing with your friends, too. Don't get me wrong. If you're playing solo or with randoms, it's probably not... It's not going to be as fun. But, dude, if you just play... Like, even before we started recording right now, just me and Nate were playing. And, like, next thing you know, a fucking hour went by just because, like, it was just me and him playing and that, right? But if you get a full squad in there, four Helldivers in there, it's fucking... Yeah, there's nothing else like it. It's really, really cool. I was a... Me and James were huge fans of fucking Helldivers 1, which is, like, a top-down.
Yeah.
This was, you know, the next-gen version of that. You're behind the back. It's you know, third-person shooting. There's... so many different types of play styles. You want to be, you want to be support, you want to help people, and then the friendly fire stuff is just so... I hope they never turn that off. I don't think they ever will, because that's what kind of makes this game unique. So Helldivers 2 is my 2024 game of the year. And then just to cheat a little bit here, because this still qualifies, but the PS5 version of Final Fantasy 16 was released in 2023, right? I got around to playing it this year, but the PC version was released in September of 2024. So I'm saying that Final Fantasy 16 is my single player game of the year. Okay. because it did take me a long time to finally beat it. Don't get me wrong. I did buy it, like, I think November 2023. But the fact that I finally got around to beating it in 2024 is like, yeah, this is what the exact kind of game that was like right up my alley, because it's not open world. But yet, it's open hub type of thing, you know? Just like God of War, stuff like that. It's, to me, that's the sweet spot nowadays. Don't get me wrong. Like, a nice, good open world is good every now and again. But, like, when it's open world game one, and then you jump into open world game two, it just gets exhausting, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, a nice, story-focused fucking single-player game, just, yeah, that that is what you need sometimes, and this was it. So, yeah.
All right. Shit. Well, those are some good fucking games we picked, huh? Yeah, no, I like that you divided the two, because I know everybody's talking about spreading democracy and shit. But yes, Final Fantasy 16 too. That's where the fucking go.
Dude, the story was like, I mean, I've talked about it in the group chat, like Game of Thrones-ish, but like it gets really dark.
Okay. It was fucking cool. We need more of that shit. Now, before we head out, there's only two other things. I'm going to run through it real quick. NPC 2025 predictions. My quick predictions is that the Switch 2 is going to have a record-setting launch. It's going to go insane. I also think Xbox is finally going full third-party. That's happening.
Oh, wow.
And I would say Amazon fumbles about half of the video game adaptations, but we still get some real bangers out of it. So that's that's how I think it's going to go for 2025. The record sits about that. I think they're still figuring out the kinks there. When I say full third party, it's obviously they're going to have their own hardware out there. But anything Xbox is going to go to PlayStation. It's going to go to PC. It's going to go everywhere. So that's what I'm thinking is going to happen. How about you?
I only have one. And that's that Sony's finally going to drop that Bloodborne remake / remaster announcement. Something. They have to hear everyone making all this noise. There's no way they are that stupid to leave money on the table. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's a goddamn fucking movement nowadays. You know, like everyone is just, a remaster. Just give us Bloodborne in 60. Or if you want to go the full Demon's Souls remake route, dude, like people will buy it. I guarantee it.
Oh, yeah. So. Full on. I think they're waiting for that so they can just get that crowd reaction. Like they want that video. They want that. Like, all right, we're gonna like the hype will be real, and that's gonna be good. But 100%. That's a good fucking prediction. All right, and before we head out, your most anticipated game of 2025. I actually looked at your list right now, and goddamn, I wish I included. I'm gonna include one from that. 100%. I'll you put three. I'll put fucking three. Metroid Prime 4 is my number one. I have been waiting decades for this bitch. I cannot wait for it to come out. And I think it's going to be a Switch 2 game, too. Doom the Dark Age is 100% as well. That's going to be good. That's going to be good. I still think about the trailers sometimes. Like, I cannot wait to fucking destroy shit with the little fucking night mech or whatever that shit is.
The fucking shield, too. The shield with the saw on it.
Oh. Yep. And just for the sake of, like, when it pops, I know everybody's going to play it. I know there's going to be memes. I know all this is going to happen. It's going to be a cultural event. It's GTA 6. GTA 6 will be a cultural event.
Totally forgot about that.
It's very, very up on my list, too. How about you?
Yeah, so mine is Monster Hunter Wilds. I've been a big Monster Hunter fan. You know, if I knew that Rise was going to be on the PC or PlayStation, I would have waited. But as I said, I dropped like 80 hours into Rise on my Switch when it came out, and I don't have it in me to start that over on a next gen console. Mm-hmm. And so I, you know, like Rise was there. I played the hell out of it, fucking loved it. But Wilds is actually not a Nintendo exclusive. They're actually dropping it, you know, on the big boy consoles that made it look all super next gen. So I'm going to be there day one for that. I still don't know if it's going to be PC or PlayStation yet, but it looks cool. It looks like it's Rise and World taken to the next level.
Yeah, it looks the evolution of the franchise for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it looks really cool. The only thing I've heard bad about it is performance-wise, which hopefully Capcom will work out before they actually launch it. And then the next one, like you said, when Doom the Dark Ages, it's kind of just been there, like in the background. They announced it during Microsoft Showcase, but like it hasn't been anything new. But yeah, I go back to that trailer every now and again. I'm like, that Doom gameplay loop is just
something else, dude. Something special. It's
just kind of like, you know what? I had a long day at work. Let me just go home and just fucking shred demons and shit.
Mm-hmm. Then you put the control down. You're like, ah!
Yeah, listen to that. Yeah, and I've always said, I think it was, 2020 when Eternal came out. That shit is the video game version of cocaine, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
Yeah, it's a bump. And then last but not least is Ghost of Yotei, or Yotei. What is it? Yotei, I think it is. The Ghost of Tsushima successor. I am there for it. Ghost of Tsushima is an amazing fucking game. If you guys haven't played it, play the fucking remaster on, or the director's cut on PC, PlayStation 5. Just do it. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. It's a fucking awesome game. It's, you know, just, it's that perfect mixture of not being a Ubisoft type of open world. It's mm-hmm. more of a focused open world. They don't give you too much to do, but yet they give you stuff to do. There's, you know, meaningful upgrades in the open world. So that's what I loved about it. It's just the fact that, like, there was always something that I was rewarded with if I went off the beaten path. So
yeah, nice.
That's the okay. yeah, that's the kind of open world I'm about. So Ghost of Yotai, I'm gonna be there day okay. one. So yeah, those are mine.
Nice, nice. So 2025 is looking good, and to be fair, this is all we know about it right now. Come yep. first quarter, we're gonna get so many fucking announcements. So 2025, we'll see how things turn out. And that's when you'll hear from us again, because boy, is it Christmas and New Year's. So yeah. we'll check back again in early 2025 and, you know, see how all this shit panned out. We'll probably get a Switcher now, so we'll probably get all kinds of other stuff. until then, thank you for listening. This has been the NPC Gaming Podcast. It is a production of the Horrible People's Network, which is also on hiatus right now, but that will also be back too. A lot of big stuff planned. It is just a crazy time. So yeah, I am your host, Anthony Fuentes. You can usually find me on the Horrible People's Podcast. It's HORRORBLE People's Podcast. Nothing new until early in the year, but listen to the backlog. I just sent the boys my Luigi's Mansion episode from back in the day, and we are some shit talkers still. Cordova, where can everybody find you?
I am on Instagram at Big Bang Cordova, all one word. I just released, you know, I'm going to be going into the new year kind of, I have like a nice little backlog of things to be posting. So, yeah, I have a Marvel Rivals video I'm editing right now. I have a couple screenshots and all that stuff. So, yeah, I'm going to get a lot more active on that. You know, that's my New Year's resolution. So, yeah, Instagram, Big Bang Cordova, go find it. If you know anyone who likes video games, share it and stuff, man. I'm going to be sharing memes and stuff, video game memes and all that. See, so
get the page going, and also visit us at npc.gaming.pod on Instagram. And with that, enjoy the rest of your 2024, and see you in 2025.
Peace. See you next year.
Yeah.
Peace. Later.